the Purpose Driven Entrepreneur Podcast. We're all about delivering great content, thoughtful discussions, and tips and tricks to help you truly get the most out of your life and business. And here's your charismatic host, me, Matt Browning. Hey everybody, welcome. Welcome to the Purpose Driven Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Browning. We are broadcasting out of the Evolution Seminars World Headquarters in a very small, quaint town called Costa Mesa, California in Orange County. I'm here with Jeremy Nunez, my producer. What's going on, Jeremy?
How's it going?
Dude, ready to rock, man. I tell you, we have been putting this off. Let's just be straight up candid, putting this off for months and months and months. We finally are literally Facebook Live-ing this right now. He's got my phone in his hand to some of our tribe all over the place, just so we would actually commit to doing this. So I'm super excited for this episode. This is the inaugural episode, but I'm also excited just because of what it means. Every week we're going to be dropping some really, really cool content, nuggets, wisdom, tips, tricks, all sorts of great stuff for you guys. So if you want to take your business, your life to the next level, we're going to be hitting everything. Things from health, relationships, the inner workings of business, marketing, whatever we need to get into. Every week we're going to have something new. We're going to be teaching some deep stuff. We're going to be talking about what's been going on in life and just having a good time doing it. So, Jeremy, are you ready to rock?
So excited.
Dude, this is going to be good. This is really going to be good. How are your Dodgers doing?
Oh, man. They clinched, so they're in the playoffs.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, this is why I don't follow baseball. Right. This is terrible. We actually went to the Angels game, and they sucked.
They did.
Against Houston. That was not good. So if they go to the playoffs, you going to watch them?
Definitely.
You going to go?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
You'll go to – are they going to be in L.A., you think?
Yeah. They'll play some games, home games.
All right. I feel like that – I might go.
All right. We'll set that up.
I'm not going to root for them.
All right. Well, you go to the Dodger game, I'll go to WWE.
You're going
to
go to WWE?
If you come to a Dodger game, yeah, I just might.
Dude, I'm in. All right. So cool. This is our eternal battle. I'm trying to get Jeremy into pro wrestling. You're getting there. You've come over close. A couple times for it.
Right.
If you don't already know, WWE pro wrestling is one of my favorite, stupidest, awesomest things in the world. And I think it's a direct reflection of this expert business we're in. We're in this coaching business, you know?
Right.
I find coaches, speakers, experts, they are always, they're basically like pro wrestlers. I tell you, stand-up comedy, pro wrestling, the circus, and traveling speakers. We are so similar. It really, really is. So maybe a future episode, I'll get into that a little more. So today, we got a really cool episode for you. I'm super excited. We're going to be talking about, the episode for today is going to be why IKEA food is way outside my budget. And I told you that, and you were like, what the heck?
Right.
Right? If you've ever been to IKEA, if you're in a country or a state that has IKEA, this, are they Swiss? Would that be Swiss?
I believe so.
I think they're Swiss. I feel like I should know more about them, but I really didn't research for this. But it's a Swiss furniture company, and they also have a huge restaurant there. They sell all sorts of food. And I'm waiting in line with my wife. We're buying some stuff the other day. Mm-hmm. And we get in the line. We're waiting and waiting and waiting. And I couldn't figure out why it was so long, except for it was over Labor Day weekend. And Labor Day is obviously it's the holiday, and I thought, oh, maybe people are there for the holidays. But no, there had to be something different. I found out they said, oh, we're giving away free food all weekend.
Really?
Right? And before I found this out, I'm standing there in line, I'm looking up, and I see the sign. It was two hot dogs, a drink, and like fries or something for $2. And I thought to myself, $2 for two hot dogs, a drink, and fries. And they have dollar cinnamon buns. Or $4 for a six-pack of cinnamon buns. They got 50 cents for ice cream. They got all these things that are like 50 cents, $1, $2, like really, really cheap. And my first thought was, this is way outside my budget. This is so low, I can't even afford to eat this. This is insane. So I'm going to talk to you about what that is in the main part of the podcast. So we're going to get into how to set up your budgets, how to set up your price points for your business, what pricing things too high look like and pricing things too low look like, and how they change the outcome. How to guarantee you get the right kinds of clients, how to guarantee you don't miss the wrong ones, or you don't miss the right ones and you miss the wrong ones, how to increase your profitability, and how to make your sales process way easier. It's all about picking the right pricing, and cost isn't everything. So we're going to talk all about that in the episode, so look forward to that. I say let's get started. Do we have anything else for the open?
No.
All right, dude. This is our first open in the can. Boom. All right, so first things first. Jeremy, you went back and researched. What a dork I am. Swedish.
Swedish.
Not Swiss, Swedish. I apologize. My apologies to the people of Sweden and of Switzerland. Oh, my goodness. I hope no one ever gets that crossed. But at any rate, so IKEA is Swedish. Hmm. Swedish meatballs makes perfect sense.
Exactly.
Right? Give about 600 meatballs for $3. So that's kind of the point of the whole episode right here is what we're going to be talking about is increasing and decreasing your price points and when to do each. There are times in business when we should increase and times in business when we should decrease. And I started thinking about what effect does each one of them have, right? Because sometimes, man, I can't tell you how often, like in a coaching environment, a business owner comes, and you've heard them all the time, right? They think, okay, well, I'm not getting enough business, so what should I do? And the first answer to most people's question of what should I do to get more customers is, well, I should do a sale. I should drop my price, something like that. So today, I want to make sure that you understand, like, that we can guarantee to get the right kinds of clients, how to increase profitability, because more clients doesn't mean more profitable. Right?
True.
Sometimes more clients means more work and the same profits or even less, depending on what your overhead is and what your cost per unit and that kind of thing. And ultimately, I want to make your sales way easier. So let's get into it. So I was walking around IKEA, like I said in the intro of this podcast, and I'm waiting in line. I go to get food, but I looked and the food was way outside my budget because it was $2. Now, I thought that was a fun title for an episode because when you say something's outside your budget, it always means what?
Way too expensive.
Right? Well, I can't afford that. It's outside my budget. But what we probably don't think about all the time is all of us have a ceiling and a floor for our budgets, right? So you do a lot of backpacking, Jeremy.
Definitely.
Right? Hiking around. I love that too. So we kind of, we've been bonding with the outdoors and climbing and all that. You showed me. What the heck was that when we went
canyoneering?
Canyoneering, right?
Exactly.
So you took me out. I had to get a wetsuit because I hate surfing, but but you took me out canyoneering. We hike up this mountain, and then we start like rappelling back down the waterfalls.
Right.
Super sick. So Jeremy is a big time outdoors guy, okay. Right? And you also probably are a big backpack guy, right?
Yeah.
I have, I don't even know how many at this point, 4 or 5 big backpacks, a couple of smaller backpacks, some camelbacks. I got a ton of backpacks, way more than I need. So if I'm in the market for a backpack, even if I don't think about it, I know I have a ceiling, of course, and have a floor. So if I go to REI, for instance, you know, the main outdoor retailer in California that we like, that we love, they're all around the U.S., and I saw a backpack for $280, to me, that's outside my budget. It's too high. I feel like, gosh, it's really good, but maybe if I was going to do an expedition to, you know, Antarctica, or I was going to a major, major mountain, I might think, hey, cost is no option. I need the best possible quality. But chances are, just for everyday use and for weekend use, $280 is too much. So maybe $120, maybe $150. I go, ah, it's going to be good quality. It's going to be at the top end of what I feel comfortable spending, you know, but in there, it's in my budget. But equally, if I saw a backpack at REI and it was $20, $19. I mean, I don't know about you. Like, what's the first thing I think is, dude, this can't be any good.
Right.
Right? So if $19 is too cheap and $280 is too expensive, the reality is we actually have a budget for a product we want to buy that has a low and a high end. Right? And we have it for everything. We have it for backpacks. We have it for cars. Right? So remember, and I've used this metaphor before, like on stage during the trainings. Let's just say you saw a car and it was a, I don't know, it was a Mercedes E-Class and it was a couple years old. And you know about the price range. Maybe they go for around about $60,000.
Right.
And you saw it for $65,000. You wouldn't really think much of it. You go, okay, well, and if that's in your budget, that's in your budget. But if you saw it for like $50,000, you'd go, hey, smoking deal. But lowering the price doesn't always bring you more people. Because what if you took a $60,000 car and you drop it down to $14,000? What happens is there's a little part in our brains, right, that watch for deals, watch for opportunities, and also watch for schemes, watch for scams. So when I see a $60,000 car on sale for $14,000 or $4,000, I think, okay, let me guess. And also, a prince died in Africa and left me $2 million, and I just need to give you my wire transfer details, and you'll send me over my cut, right?
Right.
Like, it's the same sort of thing. It's just, it's dumb. So realize that whatever product, whatever service you got, like, we have to have a budget of high and low of what people expect, and then also how we should position it. So the point is, I'm in IKEA, Swedish, still Swedish, and I saw 2 hot dogs and a soft drink for $2. And I just remember thinking, like, that is so cheap. And then my next thought was, what do they put in it? Like, that's got to be the jankest, cheapest, lamest hot dogs ever. Mm. And, you know, like, that's not any kind of a quality that I want to eat. Not to say I didn't still buy it. I did. But I was really, really hungry. I got an excuse. The point is, for a lot of people, that's the perfect price point. Because if you're at IKEA over the weekend and you want to get disposable furniture and you're going to spend $49 on a dresser, and then they offer you $2 for a couple hot dogs and a soda, or $1 for a cinnamon roll, or 50 cents for an ice cream cone, or whatever, $3 for, you know, 25 Swedish meatballs, people are going to say yes to that. But what would happen if you took that same deal, right, the same ingredients, same food, but you moved it into a decent kind of not fast food but not a slow food restaurant, you know, not fancy but still decent. And you say, oh, yeah, you can get two hot dogs for $2. Well, at Wiener Schnitzel, it's a good deal. But now let's take it to the next level. Let's take it to, like, a restaurant or something, you know. And you got, you know, there's a place called Jerry's Wood-Fired Hot Dogs. They make, you know, everything's all wood-fired on open flame grill. They serve alcohol. They have sodas. They have tater tots with all these, like, things, you know. It's like a kind of a crafty type place, right? So everything there is, you know, $6, $7, $8, $9, somewhere in that range. So if on their menu, all of a sudden they go, oh, and we also have the Jerry special, two hot dogs for $2. Like, who? Yeah, I'm going to steer clear of that. It's not what I'm looking for, right? That's kind of the whole point. So remember this, the budgets go both ways. People always think with a top-end budget, but you got to realize that your customers always think with a low-end budget too, right? Here's another quick example too. So let's say you're a photographer, all right? And I've used this before, and you're looking for a custom lens. Where are you going to look? Now, you're a professional photographer. You charge maybe $5,000, $10,000 for a wedding. Like, you're in there. You know what you're doing, and you got all the good equipment. If you're going to look for a new telephoto lens, how much money are you going to spend? Well, I don't know, but my photographer friends say maybe $800, $1,200, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 for a lens. You know, like, they can get up there. So, if, like, would you go to Walmart looking for your new top-quality telephoto lens? Is that a smart idea, Jeremy?
Don't think so.
Right?
Exactly.
Now, does Walmart sell camera lenses?
Absolutely.
Right? Of course they do. So what are they selling them for? They're going to sell them for a different kind of a client. So we got to realize, like, as a purpose-driven entrepreneur, right, it's not all about the impact we want to make. It's not all about this one product. We have to say, what's the product or service we have? And then who's the audience that needs to get it? And make sure the two are matched at the right time, right? Matched together. So, I see this so often in everywhere. I love in food places. You see McDonald's trying to get into the McSalads, and they're like, look, we're healthy too. But the funny thing is, there's a lot of people, like, on the internet that are saying, oh, I want quinoa, and I want more raw foods, and I want, you know, healthier options at McDonald's. But I don't think a lot of those people are actually going there. Do you know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
Like, they're hanging out in Irvine. They're going to the Irvine Spectrum to the nice big outdoor mall, and there's a zillion and one vegan places and raw places and organic this and all the, like, really good wholesome places to eat, and they're more pricey. So what's the purpose of going to McDonald's? What business are they in? And they're not in the food business. That's my whole point, right?
Right.
The business they're in is as cheap as possible, get a good meal, whatever you would call good, right? Right. In high school, I was all about McDonald's. Junior high, even more so. We'd walk home from school every day from junior high, stop at McDonald's, get a 99-cent cheeseburger, two, like, 79-cent, you know, hamburgers, whatever. And it was, like, super cheap. I spent a couple of bucks, and I'd get totally stuffed with a couple of different hamburgers, you know? Right. So the business that McDonald's was in is providing as cheap as possible of a meal, but people that want to pay that price point think, man, I got a lot of value for my money, hence the value meals, right? That's the idea. So they're not in the business of providing a gourmet meal. So if McDonald's came out with a $10 hamburger, to me, I'm not a genius, right? They're the multi-billion dollar company, but I think there's a reason why they haven't come out with a $10 hamburger. Red Robin has a $10 hamburger. McDonald's, they have the $2 hamburger. Or maybe they go, you know, the how about Carl's Jr. is a good one, right? Do you remember when they came out? What was that called?
Like the $6 burger.
$6 burger. And they had this range of craft burgers or, like, right, you know, custom burgers. And they tried to sort of, it wasn't a competition with the restaurant, but they were sort of going to the people that, hey, if you stop for fast food, but you would like to go out to a restaurant and have a nice meal, like you want to go out and get a burger and a beer and that sort of a, like, you know, the burger meal at a restaurant, come get that same thing, but cheap. But it's the most expensive item on their menu, right? $6 instead of like $2, $3, $4. But it's not that much, right? It's not 10 or 15. So anyway, that's kind of the point, is understand that where you put your price, this will be a good little snippet here to remember, the cost doesn't drive your sales. Cost will qualify your customers. So based on where you price your services, your products, that tells you which customers are going to qualify to walk into your store. So what if I had a $3,000 telephoto lens back to my photography business, and it was the best one on the market, but I worked out a way to price it for $499. The challenge is, if I priced it at $499, you're not going to sell 10 times more lenses. You'll actually probably sell less, because the people that are looking for amateur, like cheap lenses, aren't going to go to your store. They're going to look at Walmart and get a $299 lens or $99 lens.
Right.
But the custom people that are professionals, they're also not going to, they're not even going to look in the bin that had, you know, like if it was behind glass and it was the $1,000 and under or $500 and under lenses, they're not even going to walk to that area of the store. They know they want a top quality lens. Why would they look for lenses of top quality in a bin that's under $500? Do you know what I mean? Like it completely disqualifies them even looking in your direction, let alone deciding if they want to buy it or not. So the first thing is, get where your customer's budget is probably going to be, right? Mm-hmm. So if my customers are professional photographers, then I'm going to price stuff probably $1,200 to $3,000, $5,000. If my target audience is amateur photographers, maybe I price the lenses from $99 to $499. And maybe I have a $799, like the top. But to the amateur, that's the top lens they're going to get. To the professional, they wouldn't even stoop that low. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
So anyway, that all came up from the IKEA idea, the IKEA incident, to realize that cost really does drive the sale. So let me leave you with this. If you drop your price point too low, what are you really attracting into your business, right? And I think what you're attracting is bargain shoppers, you know. I've tried a lot of different models over the years. If you're listening to this, this is obviously our first podcast episode, so first one. But if you're listening to this in the archives and you've gone through for years, hopefully, listening to us, you know, we run trainings and courses. We educate on NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. We do sales training. We do leadership and consulting for companies. We do a lot of communication, public speaker training. But ultimately, our business is running trainings, right? We run live trainings. We have coaching programs. But in doing that, that's our main product. So I always had to ask early on, what should we price different products at, right? And I've priced our advanced NLP trainings at all different prices. And here's the cool thing. Sometimes people think the market is going to dictate my price. And to an extent it does, you know, like if I say, well, my training is worth $10 million and nobody buys it, well, guess what? It wasn't worth that much, right? But equally, I have people say the other side, right? Clients come to us and they say, well, but these other people doing massage in this area only charge X, so I can't ever charge more than that. Well, that's not necessarily true, right? They say, well, everyone is massage envy and theirs are $35 a massage. How can I justify $100 an hour? Well, how does Starbucks charge $4 or $5 for a coffee? So when Starbucks came on the market, they were battling with $1, $2 coffee shops and McDonald's and donut shops and all that stuff. Starbucks came along and said, oh, no, you probably want to get a $4.70 latte. And why, right? Like, what do they have that no one else does? If you only looked at the price of your competitors and that's all you looked at, Starbucks wouldn't exist. They wouldn't do what they do. But Howard Schultz, being, to me, I think, pretty close to genius that he was, is, well, maybe he's still a genius, I don't know, but smart guy nonetheless. And when he came up with the idea for this, it was like, you look around for Starbucks. When was the last time you saw a billboard? When was the last time you saw a commercial? Like, Starbucks doesn't do commercials, they don't do billboards, and they have lines out the door and lines wrapping around the parking lot for the drive-thrus. And their coffees are 3 times more expensive than McDonald's, even 4 or 5 times more expensive. But he believed that people will pay for the experience that they want, right? So there's people like me. Maybe I'm a dork. Maybe you think it's dumb that I would go to Starbucks, but you know what? I like it. And I don't go all the time, but when I do, and there was a minute where I was going all the time. I am a proud gold card carrying member of Starbucks, right? Like I'm into it. Because what happened is I looked around at like the Walmart of coffee, the McDonald's and the coffee shops, and I thought, I don't just want a cup of coffee. And Howard Schultz spoke to me, you know? I mean, not personally, but his message spoke to me, you know? And I thought, because he talks about this idea called the third place. Have you heard this?
No.
Yeah? Then you'll find this interesting. So the third place is, he says, we have our first place, which is usually our home or work. It's where, like, we spend the majority of our time. And then the second place is the other one. So most people have the first place their house, second place their work, and you want to create an experience called the third place. So what's that third place you can go to meet with friends, to hang out and read a book, to get some work done, to play with your kid, whatever it was like, where is this third place that you can identify as a place that you want to hang out and spend time? So we created an atmosphere down to the lighting, to the furniture, to the music playing, to the smells in the place. You know, there was a time when Starbucks got rid of all of their food because he walked into a Starbucks one day and it smelled like burnt cheese. Yep. And he thought to himself, even though 12%, I believe it was 12% of their revenue came from the food and the counter, he said, we can't do this because we're sacrificing the third place experience. Now people come in because they're trained and they're going to get food, but it's not the same experience, not the same ambiance. So they get their food and then they leave and it smells like burnt cheese. It's like, well, you can get that at the bagel place around the corner, right? Mm-hmm. So he said, if we really, really want to have a third place, what we need to do is the smells are important, the sights are important, the sounds are important. So they took off a bunch of their merchandise and stopped selling a bunch of wacky stuff. Now, if you go in, they sell coffee-related items, they sell some snack food, and maybe a couple of CDs that are nice musical arrangements that are the things that they play on the loudspeaker. Everything they sell, everything they do there is related to the experience. So what's the moral of the story? You can always charge more if you're providing more, if you're providing a different experience to that particular client. I was the kind of client, there's maybe some extra disposable income. I didn't really care about spending an extra dollar or two if it's really nice. But I'm also the same guy that I don't like to waste my money. But man, if it's rush hour, I will absolutely spend the extra money on the toll road to go past everyone. I got no issue with that. Some people think that's stupid. They think it's a scheme. And you're the kind of person that you'll never pay toll money ever because then they got you. That's not Starbucks's target audience, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. That's the McDonald's target audience. You kind of get where I'm going with this, right? Mm-hmm. So my point is, don't judge whether or not, well, who am I and what do I think is the right thing? Forget about what you think and really get into the client's head, get into your target market's head and say, how do they think? What are they looking for? What is the budget that they're looking and expecting to be, okay? Again, if you go too low on your price, you're going to get bargain shoppers. So example of this is I had a friend of mine who tried Groupon for his business. And if you're familiar with Groupon, right, someone basically you sign up and get coupons and deals and intros and things to places. And you pay $30 and you get $100 in credit, or you get your first 30 days for $10. And the idea with Groupon is you're hoping to get them hooked most often, right? They come into your business, they try it out. If they like it, they stay and they pay more. If they don't like it, then they don't or whatever. That's the idea. Here's the problem so often with Groupon, though. If you're looking for a higher-end clientele or even a medium-end, they're not going to intro off of Groupon with you. Who are you going to attract? It's like, where are you casting the fishing pole, right? Which pond are you casting it in, right? And you like fishing, Jeremy, so I know this is going to speak to you, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Where's your favorite fishing spot, by the way?
Ooh, Eastern Sierras, Mammoth Lakes, June Lake Loop.
June Lake Loop. So you just sent me up to June Lake Loop.
I did.
Yeah.
Super fun.
Yeah, we did a 4-day camping trip with my wife and son and took him fishing for the first time. He's 6. I'm way overdue, but I know you were stoked on that.
Super.
Yeah. Can we go fishing more?
We need to.
By the way?
Definitely.
Yeah. I just went down with our church. We went down to, where was it? Laguna Niguel Regional Park. Have you been down there before?
No, never.
There's like a whole lake in there. And there used to be like a boat rentals and fishing license and everything. And now the company that was doing that left, but the lake's still there. And you can go shore fishing.
Nice.
It's like right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. Really beautiful spot.
Local.
All right, we down?
Yep.
All right. Yeah. All right, you heard it here first. So Jeremy and Matt are going to go fishing. Take Val. It's going to be awesome. All right, what was I talking about? Something really important.
Where are you casting?
That's right. See, every metaphor has an origin. So ask yourself, where are you casting your hook, yep. right? Where are you casting your line? And if you cast into the Groupon pond, what you're going to find is a bunch of people who are bargain hunters. And they're not looking to get introduced to a new business. They're usually looking for a sweet deal. So when it's like, oh, hey, I get my if you're a gym, right? Oh, I got my first five workouts for $10. They're thinking to themselves, hey, I can go work out for $2 a shot. Excuse me, you know what happens a lot to the Groupon people after their five workouts? What do?
Find another one.
They find another Groupon for another gym, and they'll literally go from gym to gym because they're hunting after the bargain. They're not your ideal prospect, okay? Man, I did something really similar with some of our trainings a while back, and I think it was a great idea initially, and it did work a little bit, but here's what I did is we have a training that was a three-day intensive training with a certification involved, and the tuition point was $995. So when I sell it for $1,000, it attracts a certain kind of person. Now, a lot of people were like, don't know if I want to pay that. But when we had it on a special discount or a package bundle, it was like a Mother's Day special kind of deal, and it was $497 or $297, we got a lot of people doing that. But then every now and again, before Christmas, when else did I do it? Around Easter I did it before. We did this special thing where it was like a Toys for Tots drive. And what I did is I made a legitimate excuse to like, hey, I want to drive some toys for charity. So I gave them a materials only $79 cost. So it kind of, well, let me tell you the whole picture first. So I took $1,000 tuition and I said, you know, we have a really long spiral bound manual for them and we pay a trainer to come in and we have space to rent and everything. So the actual cost of materials and to run the event was right about $80 a person. So I said, hey, if you pay $79 and you bring a brand new unwrapped toy for our Toys for Tots drive, I'm doing this to help the kids, just cover my materials, I don't make any money from it, then you can come and get the entire training for just that cost, right? Mm-hmm. Makes sense. And the funny thing is, when we did that through email campaigns and everything, we got a lot of signups. So people were coming in droves, basically. People had been seeing what we were doing and just waiting for the bargain, right? Mm-hmm. So at first I was excited because we got all these people signing up, right? And the reality is sometimes we even gave free tickets away. So to get $80 for a ticket was still, hey, that's still a win, right? Because at least we're covering the cost of everything. And then at the training, we could offer, you know, year-long coaching programs. People said yes to that. But out of the $79 Toys for Tots charity Groupon-style people, we had a much, much lower what we call conversion rate of how many people heard your offer of advanced coaching or training and took you up on it. We had a much lower percentage of people doing that than the people who paid a regular discount or even full price, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? And I realize in business we have to have kind of a blend, you know? Because mm-hmm. if you have all discount people, your upgrades and your people that maybe stay continuity that subscribe for month after month at the gym or they buy your advanced training or whatever – the percentage would drop probably lower if they're all discount people. In turn, though, if all you have is full price people, wouldn't that be great? But we're back to the age-old problem. How do you get them in the first place, right? And that's mm-hmm. kind of the issue there. So what I want you to take away here is just consider who is your target market? What are they expecting to pay? What's a range, right? What's a real budget range for that type of person? You know, you could have a gourmet hot dog for $18 at the right restaurant. You could have a... Jerry's Dogs wood-fired grill. Shout out to Jerry's Dogs. Anthony, the owner in Costa Mesa, good guy. Maybe that's $7, right, for a nice hot dog. Or IKEA, two for $2 plus a drink is included, you know. Mm-hmm. So all of those have customers paying money. But if your customers are in the wrong pond and you're fishing with a $2 bait, you're not going to get anything. And vice versa, you go to the $2 pond and you fish with $18 bait, you're not going to get anything. So I always start with who are our customers first and what kind of people do we want to attract, and then we price things accordingly. You know, so that's what I want you to take away from that. If you are going to be a little bit medium or higher end, kind of the upper 50% or more, consider, you know, what quality do you bring? What are the extra added benefits, right? So Starbucks says, hey, it's not just coffee. It really isn't. It's atmosphere. Experience. And it sounds dumb, but you're paying for experience. You're paying for atmosphere. Luxury theater, same thing. You're watching the same darn movie, but I'll pay a few dollars more to have a leather recliner, to bring a drink in, to have someone come, you know, like it's just, it's a different experience. Again, there's some people, the attitude is, hey, it's the same movie. Why don't you just pay the cheapest price possible? Hey, that's why we have the dollar movie theaters. You know, the $2, $4 theaters, their clientele are the people who said, hey, it's the same movie, who cares? Then there's the luxury theaters. What are they like, you know, $21, $26 a ticket? And they pay for the people who say, hey, money's no object. I just want to have the best experience. But my wife and I found, do you know about this?
No.
Down in Fashion Island? There's a, it's not a luxury theater, but they re-outfitted it with, what's it, not guaranteed seating, but reserve seating. And they have like the big leather recliners with the table and everything. But I want to say it's something dumb like, it's maybe $16 a ticket, something like that. So if you're going to see a new movie that maybe costs $13, this costs like $2 to $3 more than like a regular theater. But it is, to me, 10 times the experience, right? So there's this kind of an audience that is like me, I think, where I'll pay the money if the experience is worth the difference, right? I'm not going to go on the fast track toll road every time. But if it's going to shave off a bunch of time, if there's heavy traffic, I'm happy to pay the fee. I'm not worried about it. Same thing with valet, right? Mm-hmm. Where should your valet price be, high or low? It all depends. But know who you're looking at, you know. So that's what I got for today. I hope this was valuable for you. Hope it was interesting. And, yeah, that's the podcast one. Again, in the bag. Thanks for listening. Hey, thanks so much for listening, everyone. I hope you got a lot of value out of this. I hope it was fun, and hope we, you know, you got to know us a little bit. I want to ask you a question. Where do you see this principle playing out in the world? Right? We talked about all the different, you know, the value propositions. Where do you see it? Think about some businesses around you. Think about people around you, maybe even yourself, and where do you see that? And can you apply this in your own life and business? Is there a place where maybe you're not currently seeing things that way, and maybe this will help you. So I want you to consider that. And let me know what you think. Let us know what you think. You can always, you can find me on social media. I'm at Matt Browning. That's B-R-A-U-N-I-N-G. At Matt Browning. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Let us know what you thought. Comment, send me messages, send me tweets, find me however you want to find me. You can also find this podcast everywhere where podcasts are, iTunes, Stitcher, etc., all the places. Do me a favor. If this was cool, if you liked it, subscribe to the podcast. It's free. You can get it into your inbox. It'll download under the device of your choosing whenever you're ready. And then rate and review. Of course, leave a great review. 5-star rating really helps us out more than you can imagine. And let me know what you want for the next few weeks' show. So next week, we're working on a great show for you. It's going to be super exciting. Look for some bonus episodes coming out soon. If you have a topic or question, hit me up. If you want to have me talk about something on the podcast, you want to have a certain guest come in, anything like that, hit me up on social media and let us know, at Matt Browning. All right, see you soon. Take care. Purpose-driven entrepreneurs, out.